Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares exhorts us to step up and step in.
When you see a brother or sister in Christ and they are not thinking the way they ought to, they are not living the way they ought to, they're not doing what they ought to do, you need to get involved and be willing to be a tool, just like Titus was, to say, let me help you with this. And that's hard, right? It's hard to think about, you're going to sit there and correct my thinking, but that's the body of Christ. We should be committed to them.
A busybody is someone who sticks their nose into other people's business. They'll lean over and trim the bushes on your side of the fence, freely dispensing their unsolicited advice. Yikes. On Focal Point today, Pastor Mike Fabares condemns such obnoxious behavior, but he differentiates it from getting involved in people's lives because you genuinely care about them. We're looking to Romans 15 as we explore the biblical command to correct, admonish, and redirect a wayward brother or sister in order to truly support them in Christ.
Well, you know, if we were honest, most of us would admit that we prefer to keep to ourselves. And what's been helpful for us who like our privacy is that modern Christianity has helped kind of adapt itself to our desire for being, you know, private, personal. We've come up with phrases like our personal relationship with God, and we've created phrases like Jesus, our personal Savior. And that's made us feel better about our desire to be private. Not that any of that's biblical or accurate, but we like it. Because, of course, when you open the Bible and you read it, you find that there's really not a lot of privacy or personalness about it. We become Christians, of course, one person at a time, but when we are Christians, we're called brothers and sisters, and then we see ourselves within the pages of Scripture as being very interdependent and very interrelated in terms of our relationship with God and our Christian life. We're supposed to be involved in each other's lives in ways that are often very uncomfortable. I mean, we like things corporate, as long as it's things like this, where you can all sit there and you can watch the pastor gab for an hour, and you know, that's easy. But when someone individually walks up to you, starts pointing out things that aren't quite right, and things that need to be corrected in your life, and things that maybe need to be changed, well, that's where most of us draw the line. We don't need that. I mean, I really, it's about my relationship with God, and who you're trying to be, the Holy Spirit in my life, and you know, I'm going to answer to God, not to you. I mean, why would you ever try to correct my life? Well, for all the objections and the discomfort, when we get to Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through 16, we see that kind of that meddling in each other's lives, I mean, that's what we like to call it, disparagingly so, is really the expectation of the body of Christ. That we should be involved in each other's lives to the point of even directing and redirecting and correcting behavior and thinking when it goes wrong. Now, this is dangerous to preach on, because there are some of you that really like this theme, because you're natural meddlers, right? You're the weird ones. And, you know, I don't want to add fuel to that fire. And we'll do our best to read all of this passage and really glean from all of this passage kind of the borders and parameters and kind of the governors of this particular Christian activity. But for most of us, we need to be drawn out of our privatization of Christianity. And we need to be willing and gutsy enough and bold enough to do what this text says. And the word, unfortunately, even the key word in this text is translated in a way that leaves it somewhat benign right on the surface. And some of us can read this without ever feeling the pressure that I'm already putting on you in the introduction of this sermon, but it's really there. And we'll do that by looking at a lot of references to this word and the use of this word. But let's read the text. We'll box, highlight, underline the word that is critical in this text, and then we'll do our best to see what God would have us do in response to it. Romans 15 and 16 is ended with much of a discussion like a locker room where the coach is sending out the players to go fight the Christian life in a very hostile environment. And we took this word paraklesis, that's translated encouragement, and we spent a lot of time dealing with that in the first few installments of this series. Para, right, next to, alongside of, kaleo, to call in, paraklesis, is this word encouragement, like a knee brace is to a knee that's, you know, weak. It is, we illustrated it like the young sapling tree on a bluff with the hostile winds trying to push it over. It needs support. It needs encouragement, right? It's not as fluffy and nice of a word in the scripture as it is in most of our minds. It means that we need something to help us stand firm. And as we broke down the last two chapters of Romans 15 and 16, and we'll get to all of these installments, we see that there are nine things as we glean from these two chapters that God is providing us in our toolbox, if you will, our resources, to be standing strong. And most of them relate to our relationships in the church. We've looked at things like the scripture is encouraging, and the unified church can be encouraging and supportive. But we're going to get to this particular text and talk about how we should be involved in one another's lives that will give us that support, give us that ability to stand resolved, not just by ourselves, but with the help and encouragement of other people. So let's look at this, verses 14, 15, and 16 of Romans 15, and let's learn what we can from this text. Paul writes to the Romans, I myself am satisfied about you. That may not even be the best translation. I'm confident. I feel like, you have what it takes, my brothers, to do what? Well, being full of goodness. You yourselves are full of goodness. That you're filled with all knowledge. Now, this is somewhat superlative. Of course, they don't know everything, but they have adequate knowledge and they have adequate goodness for what? They're full of goodness. They're full of knowledge. Able to, here's the key word, put a box around it. I mean, this is one that needs to jump off the page. Translated in our translation here, if you're reading an ESV, instruct one another. Now, in the margin, if you got your Bible open, just jot down in the margin maybe a couple of words that will help us with this. Instruct, unfortunately, very benign kind of word. It's a lot like the word to teach. Matter of fact, that's kind of what we would see as a synonym to that, to teach. Now, there's a Greek word for teach. It's the word didasko, and it is used often in the New Testament, and it just describes putting more information into your brain, right? More information into your mind. It's a neutral word. You've got a mind, and it needs content about Christ and about God, about truth, and so we're going to pile more information into your mind. That's the word didasko. That's not the word here. It's not the word instruct like teach, okay? This is the word Nuthateo. And it is the word that would be perhaps better translated in our own thinking as to correct, or maybe better, to redirect. Okay? Now, here's what Paul's saying. He says, I'm confident about you. I'm satisfied about you, my brothers, that you're full of goodness and you're filled with all knowledge, able to correct and redirect one another. Okay? Because that's what he's been trying to do in this book. It says here in verse 15, but on some points I have written you, and I've written you very boldly by way of reminder, because of the grace given to me by God. Matter of fact, what I've been doing in this book is what you guys are able to do and should be doing in one another's lives. And I'm doing that because of the grace given to me by God to be a minister, verse 16, a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, you Roman Christians, in the priestly service of the gospel of God. Now, this is an interesting word picture he paints, so that the offering, that's what priests do, they offer sacrifices, that the offering of the Gentiles, here's a weird image, may be acceptable. What makes it acceptable? Sanctified. You've been around here long enough to know that word. Holy, right? Being made holy by the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I'm writing you these things, and I'm writing you boldly, and I'm writing you even excessively. They're reminders. Some of them, you already know these things, a lot of them. But I'm doing this, and it feels excessive, and it feels like a lot, and it feels bold, it feels authoritative. But I just want to offer you to God like a priest would offer a sacrifice to God and make sure it's as holy as it can be. Holy, that through my ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit, you might be more holy. Okay? Now, that is the backdrop, or the coupling, if you will, of what he's saying we ought to be doing with one another. And the word here, nuthateo, is a word that is so important for us to understand. Nuthateo, if you've been around the block in the Christian life very long, you know something about a subset of Christian counseling called nuthetic counseling. Just smile at me if you've heard that word before, nuthetic counseling, okay? Nuthetic counseling is just a transliteration of this word. Nuthesis is the noun. Nuthateo is the verb. It's a compound of two words. Nous, which is the word mind, okay? Nous, mind, right? And then tithemi. Tithemi, though debated in some dictionaries, I love one of my professors who put it so well. It's like putting a plank or a support or a stick on something to straighten it up. Tithemi, okay? Nous. Tithomi, right? Nuthateo. To take your mind when it's leaning over, you can see the connection between paraklesis and nuthateo, and setting it upright, putting it where it needs to be, redirecting it. If it's leaning, that's not good, that's wrong, let's correct it. Let's redirect that brain and think the way we ought to think. Okay, noutheteo. Translated in our Bibles, words like this, words we don't use anymore, admonish, right? Admonish, reprimand, right? To correct, to warn. These are the ways they're translated. 11 times it's used as a noun and a verb in the New Testament, and they all have a sense of something going wrong, right? Didasco, you can come in here, everything's fine, let me teach you. Nutheteo, something's not quite right, let me fix it. Now picture paraklesis, like the tree on the bluff, it needs support. Now, how are we going to get support? Well, several things in chapters 15 and 16 of Romans, but here's one thing. The church and individuals in the church, brothers in the church, are going to come, and sometimes when my mind is going over here, they're going to nutheteo my mind and get me thinking biblically again. Correction. So you can see why this is uncomfortable, because, you know, I don't want you doing that. I mean, that's hard, right? Hard to think about. You're going to sit there and correct my thinking, but that's the body of Christ. We should be committed to that. Now, there are some stipulations here. And in the text, look at verse 14. We'll build our first point here. It says in 14, he says, I'm satisfied. I'm convinced that you're ready to do this. Why? Because you've got a couple things going for you. You're full of goodness and you're filled with all knowledge. Okay? You're not just arbitrarily trying to redirect people's thinking. You're redirecting people's thinking with knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Not opinion, right? But knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Biblical knowledge. Let me prove it to you. Look back up in chapter 14. Chapter 14 in that series, we named that whole series, we spent several weeks in chapter 14, and we named the series, what? Gray areas. Thank you. Gray areas were areas that are not specifically prohibited and not specifically commanded in the Bible. They're gray areas, right? And there was a couple on the table by way of example in chapter 14. Now look at verse 5 of chapter 14. When it comes to gray areas, one person esteems, this is chapter 14, verse 5, one person esteems one day as better than another. I think this day is better than that day because it's Yom Kippur, and I grew up with Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement is so important, or it's the Passover day, and that was critical, and we celebrate. Now, I know all the ceremonial laws are gone, but that day is important, and this day is important, and the Sabbath day, and you know what? I know we're free from that, and because Christ has fulfilled the Sabbath, but here's the thing. It's a special day to me, and so that guy esteems the day as more important than another. While the other guy in the church, esteems all days alike. Doesn't matter. Every day is Yom Kippur. Every day is the Passover. Every day is the Sabbath. All days are the same. And Paul says this. Look at the rest of this. Verse 5. You guys should work to convince each other of your view. Is that what he says? No. Let each one of you be fully convinced in his own mind. You want to think that? Fine. Think that. You want to think that? Fine. Why? Because when it comes to thinking one day is better than the other, doesn't matter, right? Think whatever you want on that. Verse number 10. Drop down to verse 10. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you despise your brother? Don't do that. Don't sit there and think he's wrong. I got to change his thinking and despise him and think he's wrong. I got to fix that. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God. And he's already said earlier in the text, God can make people with two different views on gray areas both stand and be approved by God. Drop down to verse 21. He's talking about eating meat, drinking wine, the things that cause your brother to stumble, and whatever your view on those things are, the point of the passage is don't cause your brother to stumble. But when it comes to what you believe about those things, look at verse 22. The faith that you have, what does he say? Keep between yourself and God. Keep it to yourself. You think that? You think that? Here's when it comes to nutheteo, don't be doing it about gray areas, right? That's not the point. You guys can disagree about a lot of things, and if the Bible says it is not an explicit command, then there's no nutheteo required. The nutheteo that needs to take place in correcting thinking, correcting behavior, is only about the things that relate to and are within the definition and context of knowledge here, the knowledge of God's truth, the knowledge of, we find within the pages of Scripture, biblical truth. Encouragement is the word, instruction is the translation. Let's piece all that together for our first point here. We need to encourage with instruction that's biblical. And maybe above instruction, you put the word redirect or correct. When I am going to help you stand firm in the Christian life so that you don't compromise or do something that is going to take you backwards in your sanctification, I want to come in and help you. I'm going to do that with correction or redirection, instruction, it's called in our text, and I'm going to make sure that when I do that, it's about something biblical. It's not my opinion. It's not my preference. It's not a fringe issue. It's an issue of right and wrong. Now, once you write that down, turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 for a great example of this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul's writing back to this church. It was a good church, a lot of things going, but there were obviously some issues and some people disobeying the commands of God, which you could find in the Old Testament. But Paul is an apostle, speaking as an apostle on behalf of Christ. He has the authority to give and deliver the commands of the New Testament, and he does so in verse number 10. At least he reminds them of how he did it when he was there. Look at verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, Paul says, we would give you this opinion. Is that what it says? Command. No, this is the command. If anyone is not willing to work, this is not about able, right? This is about willing. And there are a lot of people you know that probably aren't willing to work. Then you shouldn't be handing them a sandwich. Don't let them eat. Why? Well, because it's wrong. It's sinful. The command is you work for your food. Verse 11, we hear that some among you walk in idleness. They're not busy at work. They're busy bodies. Now, such persons, here's a strong word, we command and parakaleo. We encourage, we're going to prop this up and say this is the way to do it, and we're going to do it in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do your work quietly and earn your own living. Don't be panhandlers. Don't be begging off of people. Get to work and earn your own food and sustenance. Okay, that's the command. It's coming from God's truth. Right, something we can find for us in the pages of the Bible. It's coming through the preacher in this case to the congregation in Thessalonica. Turns the attention now to the brothers. That's the preaching. That's the truth. That's not opinion. That's command. Now he says, brothers, hey, all of you, don't grow weary in doing good. Christian work ethic, it's the right thing. Keep working. Be busy at work. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, which goes beyond just this, but certainly includes this, working for our food, take note of that person. Oh, that person's doing the wrong thing. And have nothing to do with him. Okay, wow, that's harsh. Why? That he may be ashamed. Of what? His disobedience. But here's the thing. It's not shame like, you know, you're an idiot, you're a fool, what a pagan. Verse 15. No, don't regard him as an enemy, but here it is, nutheteo. Admonish him, correct him, redirect his thinking. Get in his brain and prop it up the right way. Warn him as a brother. Okay? Let's say I'm doing a sermon on, Ephesians 4 on speaking wholesome words. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Right? Talks about coarse jesting. It talks about saying wholesome words, not being, you know, we're not cursing like sailors. We shouldn't be cursing at all. Okay? You go out to the patio, you're having your donut, and some guy comes up and goes, I got a dirty joke. Let me tell it to you. Okay? I hope that wouldn't happen, but let's just say, this is an extreme example. I hope it wouldn't happen. I got a nasty joke I want to say. And he starts telling you, you're standing by, you should nutheteo. Listen. Pastor Mike preached from the Word of God. The truth was clear. This is not his opinion. It's not a gray area. And here's what it said. And now you're out here disregarding it. And I'm going to tell you, you need to stop that. Or they start cursing. I don't have my glazed donuts. Bleep, bleep, beep, 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 beep. Right? What do you do? Well, if you're a Southern California Christian, you say, well, that's between him and God. No, you're supposed to be a biblical Christian, and you're supposed to get involved, and you're supposed to correct that. You're supposed to redirect that guy's thinking. I don't know what you're thinking, man, but you're not thinking the right stuff. You just heard the sermon. That's what the Bible says. And even if you didn't hear the sermon, you should know better. The Bible says don't do that. Now stop it. Right? You need to fix that behavior. And you admonish him. You redirect him. Right? You don't regard him as an enemy. You're admonishing him. You're nutheteo, and you're redirecting him as a brother. Now, even that picture is so uncomfortable, right? Oh, I can just feel it. Shallow breathing, sweaty palms. I don't want to get involved. I get that. But not every time you're called to nutheteo your brother is it going to feel like rebuking a wayward, you know, willful sinner. Sometimes it feels like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It may not feel like confrontation. It may feel like you're really just there to do the kind of biblical help that we're called to give, but it's still nutheteo, and you'll see it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul's going to be very candid about his own life and heart. He already has been, if you know the book of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 1, he said that the crushing weight of ministry and all the problems he was having, he despaired even of life, right? Think about that. You got the Apostle Paul, a missionary, doing all this missionary's work, and what he claims is, I feel like I don't even want to live anymore. Now, when you meet the missionary who says to you, I don't want to live anymore, you can say, well, I'll pray for him, or you can get involved. Because that's not how you should think as a Christian. That's not the right attitude. You need to nutheteo that. You need to get involved. You need to have enough biblical knowledge to instruct him, correct him. Okay? Take a look at this text. You'll see it happening through Titus. 2 Corinthians 7:5. For even when we came to Macedonia, Paul says, our bodies had no rest. By the way, that's why good biblical Christians sometimes start thinking wrongly, right? They're sleep deprived and worn down. We were afflicted at every turn, fighting without on the outside of us, right? People attacking us, and fears within. You'll find people a lot of times thinking wrongly when that happens. Here's a good Christian guy. He's an apostle. He's writing the New Testament. That's getting to him. He's downcast. All of this stuff is making him think thoughts he shouldn't even think. But God, who comforts the downcast. By the way, if you're going to build a lot of kindred words, paraklesis, right? Encouragement, propping up, putting there, standing resolve, right? Nuthateo, taking, tilting thinking and propping it back up. Comfort would be another word you could list in that word group. We even call that thing, you know, when it's cold, chilly on the couch, you get your comforter out. It's something that comes alongside and it fixes something. And even the word, kata, in the next word, downcast, it picks them back up, right? There's the idea. Though the word nuthateo is not here, parakaleo is not here, but the concept is here of fixing this. God wants to fix that kind of thinking and that hurt in his life and that frustration and that depression. He comforted us by the coming of Titus. So God sent a person, and that person's going to fix some of this. And he's going to come. We don't have the transcript of what he said, but I'm sure he didn't say when Paul said, man, I just feel like dying, oh, well, praise the Lord. No, he didn't say any of that. Right? He didn't say, I'll pray for you. He came, and I'm sure he brought some corrective thinking to Paul's life. Here was something else that was helpful. Not only by his coming, verse 7, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you when he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. Now think about that. Why is Paul bummed out? Because it's really hard. People are beating up on us. I've been without sleep. We don't have all that we need. Anxiety's overtaking my heart. But you're doing all that for ministry. Yeah, you're right. I am. Do you realize that though everybody's attacking you, look at the Corinthians. Let me bring you a report from the Corinthians. Look what your ministry has done in their life. Look at the zeal. They're longing for you. You're their hero, Paul. These guys are good guys, and you've done a great thing here. What's he doing? Propping him up, taking his mind and redirecting it. Yeah, it's about ministry, about bearing fruit. I am bearing fruit. You're right. I shouldn't be thinking of dying. I shouldn't be downcast. Titus comes in as a tool of God to nuthateo Paul when he desperately needed to think differently. Okay? Now, that doesn't feel like the patio scenario, but it's the same thing. When you see a brother or sister in Christ and they are not thinking the way they ought to, they are not living the way they ought to, they're not doing what they ought to do, you need to get involved and be willing to be a tool, just like Titus was, to say, let me help you with this.
You're listening to Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point, concluding his message called The Encouragement of a Unified Church from his series, Encouraged. Now, if you missed any portion, you can download free audio files from focalpointradio.org. Focal Point is committed to bringing you the unvarnished, forthright, expository teaching of God's Word. And when you apply understanding and reason, you change. That's just one way Focal Point listeners are impacting the world. Dennis from New Mexico writes, I really enjoyed listening to Pastor Mike and was impressed with his knowledge and ability to explain the scriptures. He mentioned people in the church who didn't have a relationship with Jesus and knew in my heart it was me he was talking about. Now I can say that I do have a relationship with Christ that's not based on works, but only on his finished work on the cross. I'm saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. Well, when you give sacrificially to Focal Point, you're making it possible for folks like Dennis to experience life-transforming confidence in Christ. Give today by calling 888-320-5885 or give online at focalpointradio.org. And to say thanks, we'll send you a never-before-offered chance to get the entire study in Romans on a flash drive. You'll glean richly from Pastor Mike's insights to amplify your study. Request the Romans study when you give a donation online at focalpointradio.org. You know, even when you can't give financially, you're still an important part of our listening family. In fact, we want to welcome you with a free CD called Learning to Encourage One Another. If you're in need of a spiritual pick-me-up, you'll experience surpassing joy when you discover God's provision for your support. The CD message, Learning to Encourage One Another, is yours free just for calling 888-320-5885. I'm Dave Drewy for Mike Fabares, inviting you to return tomorrow for a glimpse of biblical love. That's Friday on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.